This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Country Jazz.
That'll be from 7 until 10 p.m. at Parish Hall, St. David of Wales Episcopal Church, Southeast, 28th and Harrison.
You can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com.
To get more information and get your membership discount code, go to kboo.fm/BooMoon2013.
See you there.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of The Pulp Sampler. Six 10-minute plays presented by The Pulp Stage during the Fertile Ground Festival of New Works. These plays will show on February 2nd at 10:30 p.m. at the Brody Theater, 16 Northwest Broadway. Again, that's The Pulp Sampler on February 2nd. More information can be found at kboo.fm/pulpsampler2013.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Alma Midwifery, offering prenatal care, home and birth center birth, and mother-baby care for the first 6 weeks postpartum. Alma Midwifery provides relationship-based care with certified nurse and professional midwives, as well as childbirth education, yoga, and parenting classes. Located in the heart of Portland at Southeast 16th and Ankeny, or almamidwifery.com.
As we go marching, marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, a thousand millions gray, are touched with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses. For the people hear us singing bread and roses, bread and roses. Marching, we battle to four men, for they are women's children. Let the mother speak again. Our lives shall not be sweated from birth until life closes. Hearts starve as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us.
Good evening and welcome to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Leela Pruitt, here with my co-host, Carol Scholl. Say hello, Carol.
Hello.
And we're here tonight to talk about winter reeds. You know, the weather actually started picking up a little bit this afternoon, or chilly, but the sun came out. So I started wondering if winter reeds was the right show for today. But here we are with winter reeds when it's chilly out and rainy or snowy, and you don't know what to do. Pick up a book. So we're going to have several topics on books that we like to read in the winter, new books, old favorites. We invite you to call in with your thoughts about what books are great this time of year, 503-231-8187. We're going to have gardening and nature books up first, but first, the news.
And this from the Feminist Majority blog. The FDA will not challenge the Plan B vending machine. The Food and Drug Administration will not take action against a Pennsylvania college that has a vending machine in the student health center that dispenses the morning after pill. Shippensburg University began dispensing Plan B, the morning after pill, and that's the brand name for an emergency contraceptive pill that can be taken up to 72 hours after unprotected sex. The vending machine is in a health center, and it's been there for 3 years. It didn't receive much attention until last year, at which point the FDA contacted university officials to gather more information. In a statement released today to news outlets, the FDA announced it will not be taking any action against Shippensburg University for having the vending machine with the Plan B emergency contraceptive pills. The FDA apparently looked at the information available and said they will not take action against the vending machine. And in the Arkansas State Senate, the Senate has in Arkansas has passed what they're calling the Human Heartbeat Protection Act. It passed in a 28-6 decision on Thursday. Now, this act would require women who are seeking to terminate their pregnancies to undergo an invasive vaginal ultrasound, Reuters has reported. If the probe is able to detect a fetal heartbeat, the woman would not be allowed to undergo an abortion on the grounds that a fetus with a heartbeat is a human being. The act would prohibit most abortions in Arkansas, but exceptions would be made for cases of rape and incest. A heartbeat can be detected at 6 weeks, and many women do not know they are pregnant at that point.
And this from CommonDreams.org. After much uproar, New Mexico attorney, lady legislator, Right to Life board member, and alleged GOP representative Katherine Brown is walking back as fast as she can from her proposed bill to charge rape and incest survivors with tampering with evidence, a felony carrying a possible 3-year prison sentence if they choose to abort a rapist's fetus. No, 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 Brown says it was an error, I missed that one, to suggest that the bill would criminalize and prosecute the victims who she wants to protect. Actually, Brown, whose Facebook page sports an iconic photo of a gun resting on a Bible in front of the Constitution, just wants to nail those who might want to help the victim make her own decision about her intolerable circumstance, i.e., doctors or nurses facilitating an abortion for her. Let them go to jail for intent to destroy evidence of the crime. Want to see a crime? This woman in a position of power. And this from Feminist Majority Blog. A bill that would prohibit elementary and middle school teachers from discussing any form of sexuality that is not considered natural reproduction with students was introduced in the Tennessee State Senate. The new 2013 Don't Say Gay bill includes a new clause that could require teachers and school staff to inform parents if their child identifies or is assumed to be LGBTQ. Listed as an exception from prohibited discussion on sexuality is, quote, counseling a student who is engaging in or who may be at risk of engaging in behavior injurious to the physical or mental health and well-being of the student or another person. The original Don't Say Gay bill advanced out of the Tennessee State Senate's Education Committee on a 6-3 party line vote in 2011, but died on the Senate floor without being brought to a vote in 2012. In Tennessee, it is already illegal to teach sex education that is outside of the State Board of Education's family life curriculum, which excludes any reference to homosexuality. And finally, this from Salon.com. It's a celebratory month for American LGBT rights. Marriage equality is becoming the norm in more and more states, with Rhode Island just approving it in the last week of January. After a deluge of bad publicity, the Boy Scouts are at long last making noises about admitting gay scouts and scout leaders. When New Jersey teenager Jacob Randolph came out to his class while accepting an acting award, he was greeted with cheers and his speech went viral. Even famed former champion of, quote, traditional marriage, David Blankenhorn, is now proposing a new conversation that brings together gays and lesbians who want to strengthen marriage with straight people who want to do the same. And on January 21st, Barack Obama became the first president to mention gay and lesbian rights in his inaugural address. Yet, in the midst of all the good news, we still have so much more to do and so much hate to still overcome. We have to fight hard still every day so there are fewer tragedies like Jaden Bell. Bell, a 15-year-old high school sophomore in La Grande, Oregon, was taken off life support earlier this week after hanging himself on a playground structure at Central Elementary School. His family says that he had been bullied for being gay. For all the strides we're making, we need to remember that teenagers are still killing themselves because bigoted monsters are making their lives hell. Tyler Clementi, Seth Walsh, Kenneth Weishun, Josh Pacheco, just last month. And that's some of the news. We have one final topic, which is most pertinent to this discussion tonight, and that's on news from literacy and reading and education. Carol.
That's right. Coming soon, a tougher GED exam. The changes are due in 2014. The GED program, a battery of tests that has proved a lifeline to many a high school dropout, is about to get tougher. And local providers of adult education worry that changes to the tests set to take effect in 2014 may overwhelm the aspirations of some learners, dealing them a severe setback. So I happen to work in a GED program and have to give this alert if you know anyone that is studying for the GED or has put it off, has taken some test. This is the year to finish, 2013. In 2014, all your scores, if you've taken some of the tests but not all, will be invalid. So call your local community college or local test center and finish your GED. You can also contact Portland Literacy Council, and there are scholarships available for the test fees, which do range to about $135, $150. So get to the library, check out the resources, finish your GED now in 2013. And believe me, I was just looking at the 2014 test. It's really hard. So get to the library, a great resource for all your GED needs.
And we also know that reading is one of the best ways to promote literacy in children and in adults. And there is a whole lot of resource available at the Multnomah County Library. Also, through the Portland Literacy Council, they have a system of volunteers that provide tutoring to people learning to read, and they're always looking for volunteers. Some wonderful programs at Multnomah County Library for all of us. Who knows what a lucky day book is? Carol, what's a lucky day book?
Oh, I love Multnomah County Library for the lucky day books. They used to be called new books, but now you go into any branch of the library and you look around on the shelves and you see these books and they have bright yellow stickers and they say lucky day. So you cruise the lucky day book and every time you pick out one of those books, it is your lucky day.
And they're generally hot new titles. You're allowed two at a time for 3 weeks. And it does feel like a special treat, especially if you only have a few minutes at lunchtime and you're cruising the library. You go to the Lucky Day section, you see what's brand new and hot out on the market, and you get to pick one up. It's a great, great way to get your reading. And also the Everybody Reads. Go ahead, Carol.
Everybody Reads is happening right now at all Multnomah County libraries. And this is an annual event where everybody in the community is asked to read the same book. And the book this year is Sherman Alexie's book, latest book. And you can get it free at the library. You don't even have to check it out. Just head on down to your local library and get a book and look at the events and join in the discussions.
So for adults, that will be 10 Little Indians, which is a collection of short stories by Sherman Alexie. So now on to our show. We're going to have three segments talking about books tonight. First, gardening and nature. Then we're going to talk about women's authors. We're going to talk about politics and world affairs, and then kind of the kitchen sink of everything else that we can think of. We invite you to call in at 503-231-8187 and share your winter reading picks with us. We're going to hear a little music, and then we're going to come back with Lori Vollmer of Garden Fever, who's going to be talking about gardening books.
For rain, beautiful rain, don't disturb me, beautiful rain. Oh, come, never come. Beautiful rain, oh come, never come, oh come, never come, oh come to me, beautiful rain, beautiful rain, beautiful rain, oh come, never come, oh come.
never come. Oh, come to me, beautiful rain. When the sun says goodnight to the mountain, I am dreaming of the sun said goodnight. When the sun says goodnight to the mountain, I am dreaming of the sun said goodnight. When the sun goes down, the birds from the trees are singing sweet for the night. When the sun says goodnight to the mountain, I am dreaming of the sun said goodnight. When the sun goes down, the birds on the trees are singing sweet for the night. When the sun says goodnight to the mountain, I am dreaming of the sun said goodnight. When the sun goes down, the birds on the trees are singing sweet for the night. When the sun says goodnight to the mountain, I am dreaming of the sun said goodnight. Rain, 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 beautiful rain. Rain, 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 beautiful rain. Oh, come, never come. Oh, come, never come. Oh, come to me, beautiful rain.
And welcome back to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Leela Pruitt, here with Carol Scholl. And right now, we're going to be talking about gardening and nature books. On the line, we have Lori Vollmer of Garden Fever. We want to encourage you to call in as well at 503-231-8187. And I know Carol and I are both gardeners, and we always love the Garden Fever fallout from the Oregonian that tells us what to do every couple of weeks, every month, I guess. And now we have Lori Vollmer, who's going to talk to us about the Garden Fever Spring Book Soiree. Lori.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So tell our listeners about the Spring Book Soiree at Garden Fever. It's been going on a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, this is actually the 9th year in a row, and it's this Sunday. It's our alternative to Super Bowl Sunday. And we've got a great presentation starting at 1 p.m. Basically, Garden Fever is kind of welcoming in gardeners for an afternoon of spring inspiration, which we've all got the urge right now, especially after the beautiful weather today. And this year, our special guest presenter is the award-winning garden writer Kim Pokorny. I'm sure a lot of the listeners already know Kim. She's been a journalist for 28 years, and the last 15 years as a garden writer for the Oregonian. She's won Quill and Trowel Awards, two Garden Globes, the Herald Award from the American Nursery and Landscape Association. She really knows her stuff. She's going to be reviewing garden books for kids, veggie growers, good gardening advice, and then just great pure inspiration. And then she's also going to share her thoughts on some of the books that actually inspired her as a Northwest gardener.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, fun.
And tell us where you're located.
We are at 3433 Northeast 24th Avenue, and that's a half a block south of Fremont in Northeast Portland. And we're open 9 to 6, 7 days a week.
That's wonderful. And like I said, we always look forward to the insert in the Oregonian that tells us exactly what to do each month.
The little calendar. But yeah, right. I'd love to head down there on Sunday. An alternative to the Super Bowl, dream of your garden.
Yes. And Lori, do you have any personal favorite gardening books?
Well, one of the things I'm excited about right now is a brand new release that we just got in yesterday. Barbara Damrosch and Elliot Coleman live all the way over in Maine, but they are, you know, I am enamored with them totally. They are fabulous organic vegetable and ornamental gardeners, and they just put out a brand new book called The Four Season Farm Gardener's Cookbook. And the first part is all about how to grow what you eat, and the second is about how to cook it, which I like to do both. And the thing that I'm most enamored with these two people is they actually do their veggie gardening 12 months out of the year, and they harvest 12 months out of the year.
That's amazing in Maine.
It's a place to live, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that sounds good. So it's the Four Season Farm Gardener Cookbook?
Uh-huh, that's right.
Sounds wonderful. And once again, we encourage everyone to go over to Garden Fever on Sunday. skip that part of the Super Bowl.
And what time is it at on Sunday?
The presentation is at 1 p.m. It's about a half-hour presentation, but it's an open house, so you can come anytime you want.
I can also highly recommend Garden Fever as a place to go on a rainy day when you want inspiration, because you can have a little bite of cookie, some coffee, sit in a comfy chair, look at all the garden books you care to. It's a fabulous place. Lori, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Maybe we'll see you Sunday.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right, so there's Garden Fever, 3433 Northeast 24th Avenue, an alternative to the Super Bowl instead of watching men bash their heads in, which I have to admit, probably going to do. You can think about what you can plant in the gardens. I love her recommendations.
And certainly our dreams are turning to sun and spring, and we planted 100 bulbs this year, and they keep trying to come up. They keep thinking it's spring, but not quite. So Garden Fever is a great place to go. Get those inspirations going.
So let's hear your recommendations at 503-231-8187.
So we're going to talk just a minute about garden and nature books that we like. I found a fabulous one at Multnomah County Library just the other day. It's called A World in One Cubic Foot, Portraits in Biodiversity. It's not a garden book, but the author went and took a 1 cubic foot square frame to several different ecosystems and left it 24 hours and recorded everything that came through it that was visible to the naked eye. And he took fabulous photographs. So you see these six, I believe, ecosystems from around the world, from Costa Rica to Central Park. And then he worked with local scientists to measure what moved through this tiny space. So many of the organisms that are in these photographs have rarely, if ever, been presented to the general reader. And it's just stunning. The author's name is David Litschwager, Litschwager. The book is A World in 1 Cubic Foot, published by University of Chicago Press. There's a wonderful foreword by E.O. Wilson and some essays that you would really love. We have a caller. Claire, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to recommend the book Gardening at the Dragon's Gate.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It's about a gardener who is also a Zen Buddhist, and she grows organic vegetables for her temple outside of San Francisco. And each piece is simplified, and you can kind of digest it individually, but you can also read it straight through if you'd like. It's not necessarily a garden manual, but it's kind of seasonal.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's Gardening at the Dragon's Gate. And the author again?
You know what? I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. It'll be easy.
Google it. The listeners, Google it. It sounds wonderful. No, you're okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
So we have from Lori Vollmer of Garden Fever, we have the Four Season Farm Garden Cookbook. Someone in Maine that she admires very much who gardens year-round, which is something I aspire to and find it extremely difficult, but aspire to. And then from our listener, Claire, Gardening at the Dragon's Gate. Carol, do you have any nature or garden books that you like?
I do. And want to remind listeners, if you'd like to recommend a book, call us at 503-231-8187. And thinking about gardening, I also have to think about eating. And my nature and gardening book is actually also a cookbook and a Lucky Day book at the library. So it's a beautiful picture book. It's called The Wild About Greens, and it's by the author Nava Atlas. She is a vegan and vegetarian cookbook, and she is famous for her cookbooks. And what you have are these beautiful pictures of these greens that you've always wanted to eat but didn't know how to cook. So we have kale, collard, spinach, Asian greens. There's a great recipe of enchiladas made with collard green wrappers. It's one of my favorites. I might do that. Might have to bring the book back, though. anyway, so it's I just found it a very good cookbook for my level of cooking, which is not too complex. And the book had beautiful pictures. Again, as we as winter closes and as we head into spring, it's always nice to look at plants and think about growing things in the garden and, of course, eating. The book, again, Wild About Greens, and the author, Nava Atlas.
Is it dinner time?
503-231-8187.
We're going to, next up, we're going to be talking about women authors. And again, we invite you, 503-231-8187. Give us a call. Share your favorites about gardening, about nature books, and about women authors. We're going to have a little music and come back to talk about our favorites. Welcome back to Bread and Roses. Tonight, we're talking about winter reads. I'm Leila Pruitt. I'm here with my co-host, Carol Scholl. We just finished up a little segment on gardening and nature books. And now we're going to talk a little about women authors. This afternoon, I talked with Roberta Dyer of Broadway Books. She was unable to be with us this evening, but she did give me two books by women authors for whom the authors are going to be at Broadway Books in the next couple of weeks. The first is Eight Girls Taking Pictures by Whitney Otto. Whitney Otto will be at Broadway Books at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, February 12th. Broadway Books is located at 1714 Northeast Broadway in Portland. You may know Whitney Otto from her previous book, How to Make an American Quilt, that was turned into a movie. This book transports the reader across the globe and the century through the eye of female photographers. This is an excerpt from the Portland Monthly review of the book. In 1930s, Argentina German-born Charlotte Blum takes pictures for the typical Argentine housewife while pining for her female lover across the pond. Among the chaos of World War II Europe, American-born Lenny Van Pelt, camera in hand, discovers a much-sought-after sense of control. In the face of second-wave feminism, Miri Max and Jenny Lux both defend the artistic merits of their domestic photographs, and Jessie Berlin struggles to reconcile her passion for her husband and her belief in free love, but finds solace in the words of a legendary photographer. Though their settings differ, each woman's story beats with the same pulse, expanding when they fall in love or achieve creative fulfillment, and contracting every time they must choose between the two. The review goes on to say that Otto's vivid narratives of these women's lives, often bohemian, occasionally luxurious, always richly intellectual, and full of love, render them as complete, complicated mediums between their cameras and a world that treats them so ambivalently. The author, Whitney Otto, was on OPB radio the other day talking about this, and it's a slightly fictionalized account of historical female photographers. It was a wonderful interview, very interesting. So I encourage you to go hear Whitney Otto at Broadway Books on Tuesday, February 12th at 7 p.m. The second book that Roberta Dyer recommended was called Nisei Soldiers Break Their Silence, Coming Home to Hood River. This is by Dr. Linda Tamora, and it's published by the University of Washington Press. Here's a little from the Google Books description. Nisei Soldiers Break Their Silence is a compelling story of courage, community endurance, and reparation. It shares the experience of Japanese Americans, or Nisei, who served in the U.S. Army during World War II, fighting on the front lines in Italy and France, serving as linguists in the South Pacific, and working as cooks and medics. The soldiers were from Hood River, Oregon, where their families were landowners and fruit growers. Town leaders, including veterans groups, attempted to prevent their return after the war and stripped their names from the local war memorial. All of the soldiers were American citizens, but their parents were Japanese immigrants and had been imprisoned in camps as a consequence of Executive Order 9066. The racist homecoming reception that Hood River Japanese American soldiers received was decried across the nation. And Roberta Dyer mentioned to me that the author's father was one of those soldiers and that she did extensive research to create this this history. And she will be at Broadway Books on Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. to talk about her book and answer your questions. So I would definitely encourage you to go.
Yeah, it just sounds amazing. I mean, this is... why reading is so important, it takes you to other worlds. And in this case, the book Nisei Soldiers Break Their Silence, Coming Home to Hood River, the place that this book will take you is back to the end of World War II, right down the highway in Hood River, Oregon. Fantastic. It sounds fantastic. The author, again, is Dr. Linda Tamura. And even the book, Whitney Otto's book, Eight Girls Taking Pictures, it's a great chance to see Whitney Otto and... what a different story. So those sound like great selections. If you'd like to contribute some thoughts about authors, give us a call at 503-231-8187. We're here just till 7 o'clock, so we'd love to hear about your winter reads.
And it just gives me chills to think about that book about the Nisei soldiers, because we go up to the Fruit Loop every year to get apples and to pick cherries, and the names on those fruit boxes correspond with these families.
Yeah, amazing story. So that book, great recommendation from Broadway Books, and Broadway Books is at 1714 Northeast Broadway. And we're so lucky in Portland, actually, to have independent bookstores. I come from San Diego, and actually a part of San Diego, Chula Vista, which has no bookstores at this moment. There's one in a mall, but that's it for a huge population. There aren't any independent bookstores. And anyways, so take advantage of what we have and let's keep them in business.
And our libraries. Don't forget the Multnomah County Library has one of the largest circulations in the country, which is quite a gift relative to the size of our population. And moving forward with this discussion, if you have a favorite woman author, give us a call, 503-231-8187. I'm dying to share about this book I just got and read just a couple weeks ago. I have been pining for Nora Ephron since she died last year. Just heartsick. And Carol and I both went to Movie Madness to pick up one of the Nora Ephron's films the day that she died, and there was a line of people looking for those films that were bereft as well. Well, Nora Ephron has a sister, Delia Ephron, who was her collaborator in several films and who writes her own novels. And I recently got a Delia Ephron book called The Lion is In. It was published by Blue Rider Press in 2012. And it's just the most remarkable, light yet serious read. I was just thrilled by it. It begins with three women in just unexpected circumstances. One of them is in a wedding dress and a veil, and they're standing by the side of the road in a car that they just got away from something in that you don't really know what it is. And they meet another woman walking down the road who's been walking for a long time. And they have an incredible adventure being stuck in a small town whose basic entertainment is a lion at a bar, a live lion at a bar. You've got to read this book. Listeners, it's at the Multnomah County Library called The Lion is In by Delia Ephron.
And the book I picked, I was trying to think of my favorite women authors, and there are so many. But I picked the author Edwidge Danticat. Now, she's a Haitian immigrant and has written many books, really. And the book I was thinking of is called Brother, I'm Dying. It was a finalist for the National Book Award, and it won the National Book Critics Circle Award for autobiography when it was published. I'll read the little background about Brother, I'm Dying. But the background for my picking this book was actually that we just happened to visit an ICE detention facility in Tacoma, Washington. Now, this is the place where immigrants get stuck before they're deported. They're not necessarily charged with any crimes, and maybe they did commit a crime or not, but they're waiting in limbo for a long time to be deported. And it reminded me of Edwidge Danticat's book, Brother, I'm Dying. And here's the write-up about it. After Edwidge Danticat's parents left Haiti for America when she was four, she was left in the care of her uncle Joseph. It was a good choice. Her father's older brother was a gentle man, a thoughtful caretaker, very generous. And when Edwidge left to be reunited with her parents in New York City 8 years later, it was a bittersweet departure. And as she described it, she was being separated from her second father, the pastor who, quote, knew all the verses for love. Now, her second father, this Uncle Joseph, stayed in Haiti for many years up until 2004. He was forced to flee to the United States, but his story ends tragically. In Florida, he was detained by U.S. Customs, then imprisoned by the Department of Homeland Security. And within days, he was dead. He was 81. And Edwidge Danticat later testified before Congress about these detentions that are still going on today. And the book is Brother, I'm Dying. Any of her books are great. She's also written a book called Create Dangerously. And in this book, Create Dangerously, she writes about, she reflects on art and exile, examining what it means to be an immigrant artist from a country in crisis. And she writes that she believes immigrant artists are obliged to bear witness when their countries of origin are suffering from violence, oppression, poverty, and tragedy. A wonderful writer, Edwidge Danticat. If you have some suggestions for us, please call 503-231-8187. We'll take callers just about 20 more minutes, so you want to get that call in.
And again, we're talking about winter reads. I have another one by a woman author that kind of also focuses on immigrants. Very interesting. It was the winner of the 2012 Penn Faulkner Award for Fiction. It's by Julie Otsuka, called The Buddha in the Attic. It's a series of brief narratives of the Japanese picture brides who came to California after World War I. These women frequently were clutching a photograph. They had been mail order brides, had never met their intended husbands, and came on boats, a long and difficult journey to California to meet them. Here's a tiny bit from the New York Times review. This is a quote from the book. On the boat, we could not have known that when we first saw our husbands, we would have no idea who they were. That the crowd of men in knit caps and shabby black coats waiting for us down below on the dock would bear no resemblance to the handsome young men in the photographs. That the photographs we'd been sent were 20 years old. That when we first heard our names being called out across the water, one of us would cover her eyes and turn away. I want to go home. But the rest of us would lower our heads and smooth down the skirts of our kimonos and walk down the gangplank and step out into the still warm day. This is America, we would say to ourselves. There is no need to worry, and we would be wrong. It's an extraordinary book. It's a very brief narrative. Chapters are short narratives, and they're written all from the point of view of we, which kind of conveys an interesting distance from the reader, but also the camaraderie and the commonality of this group of women coming to California. I would strongly recommend The Buddha in the Attic. And please give us a call, 503-231-8187. Up next, we want to talk briefly about books we like from the sphere of politics and world affairs. We invite you to call in. We're going to go now to Lila Downs, Silent Thunder.
There's a blade of grass that's growing in the garden of your path. Every morning when you walk beside, I feel it sway. In the silence of my thoughts, there's a little open book with the names of times that passed its light surrounding you.
welcome back to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Leela Pruitt, here with Carol Scholl, and we're talking about winter reads.
And we were talking about when is the best time, how people read at different times of the day. And, I think one of the greatest things about Portland is the rain, and which I do love to be out in the rain, but also I like to be inside reading a book. So what we're wondering is how many of you out there are nighttime readers, bus readers, morning readers. I tend to read very late at night until it gets really late, especially if it's a good book. But I always have to have a book by my bedstand. And right now I'm working on a book tower. I have a bunch of books from the library stacked up as high as they can go, and I'm waiting for it to fall down. But winter reads is the topic tonight. We'd love to hear what you are reading. What has inspired you? Today doesn't seem like winter. In fact, it seems like spring. But as we've gone through winter, and when you think of the cold, dark days of winter, winter is a tucking in time, a time to burrow in and feed your soul. What feeds your soul? 503-231-8187. Just a few more minutes in the show, about 10 more minutes. So call us with your reading suggestions. 503-231-8187.
I'm not sure that Portland's exactly a tucking in kind of place with the mountains so nearby. I'm usually exhausted by the end of my days, and so reading at night is an exercise in one sentence and fall asleep. But I love to read in the afternoon when it's raining out, and I like to stick with a book through the end and just read straight through. It's such a treat.
So our next section, we were talking about world affairs, I believe.
And politics.
And I have to say, when things get bad and the news is gloomy, what I like to do is get from the library, of course, an audiobook, anything by Molly Ivins, and because we need to laugh through hard times. And she would be definitely one of my favorite picks when it comes to thinking about politics, especially when things get a little too tough.
Sounds great. Yeah. We all need a little relief from the too tough.
Especially with your next pick.
Well, I found an extraordinary book this past January. It's by Kurt Eichenwald, who is an investigative reporter for the New York Times for many years. He wrote a book called 500 Days, Secrets and Lies in the Terror Wars. It's about a 500-600 page book. It's intimidating to look at, but really worth the time. This gentleman went to investigate what happened after 9/11, and he determined after looking into it that the first 500 days after 9/11 really structured the political milieu through this moment, clear through the Bush administration into the Obama administration. It is a riveting, riveting story about...
But this is the thing. You want to read like two pages of that and then turn on Molly Ivins.
I don't know. I was really interested. It's written in a very compelling way. And the thing that I found most interesting about it is that the panic after 9/11 didn't just affect us, we the people. The panic affected our leaders, our legislators, and our executive branch, and that because of that panic, the Bush administration was allowed to move forward with policies that were very deeply rooted in their philosophy, the neoconservatism, Bush's philosophy about preemptive conflict, things like that, that I think would never have happened had there not been a panic after 9/11 and the sense of the legislature, of the Congress and the Senate that we had to do something. We couldn't just let this lie. It's just an amazing story of neocon politics, of ineptitude, of confusion and panic, and how that came to dominate how that gave rise to the theories and the beliefs that now dominate our political situation. I would really recommend reading 500 Days. We have a caller on the line. Joffrey, go ahead.
Hi, yes. I was just calling regarding, you had a request to call in with favorite women authors.
Yes.
My two favorite authors are both women. Dorothy Dunnett and Connie Willis. I don't know if you're familiar with their work.
Can you mention one of each?
One of Dorothy Dunnett's books is called A Game of Kings.
Uh-huh.
And one that Connie Willis is probably more well known for is called The Doomsday Book. They're both sort of like, alternative history. Well, no, one's like alternative history. Connie Willis is about the Black Plague in the Middle Ages and life in it. And Dorothy Dunnett is historical fiction, and it's sort of about the politics in Europe and the Middle East during, like, the, I think it's like, 13 or 1400s.
And what do you find most appealing about their work?
Just the stories and characters are really extremely engaging. I don't really...
That's all right.
Those sound great.
How to explain it better than that.
So thank you, Joffrey. So we have The Game of Kings and The Doomsday Book, historical fiction and sort of an alternative history from Joffrey. And we invite you to call in 503-231-8187 these last few minutes if you have any recommendations for winter reads.
In terms of books about world affairs or what's going on in the world, the news in Syria is just tragic. And here on KBOO, last year I interviewed the author Stephanie Saldana. Her book, The Bread of Angels, A Journey to Love and Faith. Again, the book is The Bread of Angels. If you'd like to hear the interview, just check out the KBOO archives, Stephanie Saldana. Now, a write-up from Powell's on The Bread of Angels is this. Joseph Campbell overlooked the archetypical story of the woman who flees after an experience of brokenness to reconstruct her sense of self. And Stephanie Saldana is on that quest. This is a true story. The bones of the story are similar. A woman travels to a foreign country on the heels of an emotional breakup and finds true love. It's true. But the country is Syria, and why I picked this book for this part of this show is because it was the first portrait of Syria I had ever read that really humanized Syria. And she writes about this part of the Middle East. She's on a spiritual quest, actually. She's studying about the Muslim Jesus, and she writes with great tenderness for all the different people she encounters, Iraqi war refugees, Lebanese refugees, devout Muslim girls. She teaches English in a school run by a female sheikh. And it's just a portrait of a lovely, lovely country I've never have imagined. But thanks to this book, The Bread of Angels, before troubles broke out in Syria, the terrible things that are going on with the government there attacking its citizens. I had read this book and really came to know Syria in a different way. Stephanie Saldana, she currently teaches Palestinians in Israel. The Bread of Angels is the book, Stephanie Saldana.
And we just have a couple of minutes left, and we wanted to use that time to kind of throw in the rest of the kitchen sink. I would like to remind our listeners of a couple of books that we highlighted during previous interviews last year. One of them is Sheepish by Catherine Friend. It's a story of personal development and transformation told in the context of raising sheep to develop wool and to learn to use wool, knit and weave and things like that. Also, 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life by Karen Armstrong. Always, I think, an important voice in trying to develop peace and compassion around the world. And The Crying Tree by Nassim Raqqa, who looks at the concept of forgiveness and what it does for the people who are involved in forgiving versus those who do not.
And events that we highlighted earlier in the show include this Sunday. Now, these are all free events. So the great University of Portland bookstores, I should say. Every bookstore is a university, and you can just wander in, even if you don't have a lot of funds. But Garden Fever. Garden Fever is at 3433 Northeast 24th, just a block from Fremont. This Sunday, instead of the Super Bowl, you can head down and hear about gardening books. And then on February 12th at Broadway Books, 1714 Northeast Broadway, February 12th, Whitney Otto will be speaking about her new book. February 19th at Broadway Books, Nisei Soldiers Break Their Silence about Hood River.
And we had a caller earlier that wanted to know the music that we've been playing. We started out with Rain, Rain, Beautiful Rain by Ladysmith Black Mombaza. We played Sea Fever by Chris Delmhurst, Silent Thunder by Lila Downs. And we are going to leave you tonight with a piece called Sounds of the Island from the soundtrack from Il Postino. We wish you a good evening and thank you for joining us, Bread and Roses.
Read on.
KBOO Radio is a proud media sponsor of the Fertile Ground Festival of New Work, a 10-day festival showcasing all new acts of creation by Portland artists. This festival will take place from January 24th through February 3rd in locations all over Portland and aspires to increase the appreciation of Portland's lush creative culture, artists, and projects spawned right here in our native soil. Again, that's the Fertile Ground Festival of New Work from January 24th through February 3rd. More information can be found at kboo.fm/fertileground2013.
KBOO Radio is a proud sponsor of the 23rd Cascade Festival of African Films, Africa Through African Lenses. The film festival will take place February 1st through March 2nd, 2013, Thursday through Saturdays each week. The majority of films were made by African directors and celebrate Africa's achievements, expose Africa's failures, and reveal the possibilities of change and a more hopeful future. Opening night, February 1st at 6:30, will be the film Toussaint Louverture. This action epic, based on the life of Toussaint Louverture, who led the only successful slave rebellion in the history of the Americas. This film will show at the Hollywood Theater. More information on the Festival of African Films can be found at kboo.fm/CFAF20.
Good evening. The time is 7:02. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Hard Knock Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, fam? You're tuned to Hard Knock Radio here on the Pacifica Network. On today's program, we continue with our coverage from Family USA out there in D.C. We have a conversation with Dr. Ron K. Bailey about health care reform and gun violence. Also, later on the program, we speak with author Adam Mansbach about